Hey folks, welcome to Who Booked This? I'm Stephen Graham.
And I'm J.R. Goldberg.
And here we got a special two-parter where we look at one of the most notoriously infamous pay-per-views of all time. I don't know how to word it.
Yeah, that's about right. So it's really interesting. I mean, we'll get into this later, because the reason that it's infamous is actually, like, by today's standard, it's something that happens almost weekly in wrestling now.
That's true.
Isn't that, you know? Yeah.
Did we say what it was? It's King of the Ring, yeah. 1995.
I was hoping we could trick people into listening if we didn't tell them what it was.
Well, it's on the title of the show. I guess if we just wrote, like, Mabel, it would people would tune in.
We could just write Mabel.
Yeah. We should always just write Mabel.
A whole show about Mabel. The complete and accurate Mabel.
I like Mabel, but we'll get into that. Before we start, I've been listening to some other podcasts, and I think I found a way to make ours more popular.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I opened a ginger ale.
Oh, ginger ale's delicious.
It is, yep.
Are we going to mention the brand? Can we get a sponsor out of this deal?
It's Verner's. So,
oh, okay. Very good.
The best ginger ale on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very good. So,
in America, well, I guess it was Canada Dry, so I assume that they would have it in Canada as well. Did they have over the summer here, they had the half lemonade, half ginger ale?
Yeah. Canada Dry is, the most popular ginger ale, pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I actually quite enjoyed that lemonade ginger ale hybrid that they had.
The best is at Thanksgiving, Christmas time, they have cranberry.
Cranberry, yeah.
That's the best time.
I do enjoy that as well, yeah.
Okay. So, you know what?
What?
This pay-per-view starts out with a bonus treat.
Yeah, a heat match, basically.
Yeah, like, I've watched a bunch of shows on the network. They never include the free-for-all.
No. Yeah.
But here, we get a qualifying match.
We do.
For the King of the Ring. Everyone's on the show, except for, I guess, Razor Ramon got injured or something.
Yeah, so I think Razor Ramon, I looked it up.
Okay.
So Razor Ramon actually got hurt, right?
Okay.
And they weren't sure that that he would be able to compete, so they booked this instead. And you know, I know, spoiler alert, I guess, but if I was a booker, I would book the last minute replacement to go to the finals every time. that's just sound booking right there.
Oh man, we're gonna talk about the booking because. The people who are left off this show.
Yeah, all right. So this is the loser field, okay? So these are the people that that lost qualifying matches to get into King of the Ring. You cannot tell me that this would not be the best all-time King of the Ring field, okay? So you could have had Razor Ramon, Lex Luger, Doink the Clown, Mantor, King Kong Bundy, Duke the Dumpster, Rosie, Adam Bomb, and Jeff Jarrett as the King of the Ring field. That is 1,000 times better than what we actually got.
Yep. But, I have some more questions about that later, so we'll go into it. But yeah, that's the loser bracket. But let's talk about the winners.
Okay.
So, this is the pre-match pay-per-view. We got Savio Vega versus IRS. Winner goes into the tournament. So if they go to the finals, they'll be wrestling four times.
Four whole matches.
Yep. Four whole matches.
In 2 hours.
Yep. What do you think?
I mean, about this match in particular?
Yeah.
Okay. My notes on this match. There are so many roll-ups in this match. Like literally, I would say 80% of the offense in this match is just a roll-up. and then the first actual move in this match is a vertical suplex. That's like the only move until the finishing stretch that isn't a roll-up or a counter in some way.
Do you want to hear
It's like Lucha, but bad.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my notes?
Sure, yeah, please.
They have a solid enough match.
They do. Yeah, I mean, it's
yeah, the crowd's kind of into it, you know?
Yeah. The crowd, is that like we're pumped up to see a pay-per-view energy, you know? Yeah. Like, where you could throw anything out there and people would be pretty into it. Yeah. I mean, I will say that the finish to this makes very, very little sense to me. And they do this finish, I guess, spoiler alert, really not all. So they do this finish or some semblance of this like two or three times in one night. Basically. But if you're IRS and you're literally in a match where the winner qualifies for the King of the Ring, why would you do a walkout spot as the heel? In that spot if you are the champion, right? But not as the competitor to become something.
It's very odd. Yeah. Very odd.
He's just in the middle of a qualifying match and he's like, you know what? Nope, not for me.
I'm not
I'm done. I'm good.
This Savio Vega is too much fire.
He's got too much firepower. Yeah.
Did Vince start talking about Rocky yet? Or was that later?
Oh, Vince talks about Rocky a lot.
Well, Savio Vega is the ultimate underdog. Like, Vince gets on Savio being the underdog and like totally telegraphing what's gonna happen like 2 minutes in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, 100%. So this is probably, and we'll get into the big reasons why later in the show, but one of the recurring themes that I have in my notes is that this is the most fetish friendly WWF event of all time. And it starts with Vince's commentary, because Vince goes in on a lot of things, starting in the next match with Yokozuna's girth.
Oh God.
And Vince McMahon must say girth about 500 times in this match. But
yeah, so the first match,
yeah,
is round one. We got Yokozuna versus Savio Vega.
Yeah, Vega basically just stays in the ring.
You know what? We almost had Yokozuna versus IRS.
We did almost have Yokozuna versus IRS.
How great would that have been?
It would have been great. It also, I mean, I really wish that that we had gotten Mabel versus Yokozuna.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a few things before the match. Savio Vega does a promo backstage. So he did leave.
Yeah.
Razor Ramon just stands behind him. Doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Doesn't say a word. Just stands there.
One of the best talkers in the business. Just let Savio speak. And I didn't even understand what he said.
Savio Vega has like four promos on this show.
Yeah. And then my favorite thing, Yokozuna waves, you know, the Japanese flag, as you do. Yep. as a foreign menace he was.
Yeah.
But Savio comes out with like Jacques Rougeau tiny American and Puerto Rican flags.
Yeah.
He's both. Like the Fabulous Rougeau brothers mocking America.
So like I put a note in here actually that if a WWE wrestler came out and waved a Japanese flag now, he would probably get a big face pop from all the weird ass weeb fans that are like wrestling. Well, if someone came out and waved a Puerto Rican flag, they would probably get booed by all the racists that go to wrestling. So really the roles would be reversed in 2018.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. Oh, America. So
yeah.
Guess what?
What?
We didn't talk about it, but we're in Philadelphia. And so that means Rocky references. We had a helicopter showing us the lovely city of Philadelphia.
Where I live, yes.
Yeah, you must have been proud.
I didn't live there at the time, so
Okay.
I'm proud retroactively, I guess.
Okay. Well, SummerSlam's in Toronto next year, so that's exciting.
It is, yeah.
The last time SummerSlam was here, it was awful.
What was the card last time SummerSlam was there?
The main event was Chris Benoit versus Randy Orton. You had Undertaker versus JBL. You had, I think it was Kurt Angle versus either Eugene or Eddie Guerrero. No, it was Eugene versus Triple H and Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle in a very short match. And my favorite thing, like my one sticking out memory besides the fan jumping the rail, running across the top of the limo and almost falling in the gimmicked roof, is when the babyface Edge comes out for the IC title match. And the whole crowd boos in Toronto. And my brother just turns to me and goes, why are they booing Edge? And I'm like, I don't know. It was very bizarre. Edge in his hometown, getting nailed. But
I love like big WWE shows in Toronto where Michael Cole is forced to say Bizarro World like 500 times.
Oh, yeah. Last time we had Goldberg, so that was great.
Oh, yeah. That was a good show. That was a really good show.
It was. We were lucky. Speaking of great wrestling.
Yeah.
Yokozuna controls.
Versus Savio Vega. Yeah.
Versus Savio Vega. Yokozuna controls. Savio has fire. Owen attacks Razor. In the confusion, Savio wins by a count out. That's my notes.
Yep. Yeah. My only other notes that I have is me lamenting the fact that no one does the 10 punches in the corner anymore, which I think Savio Vega does 4 times on this show.
He does it later, and it even, I'll talk about it, but like even a dead crowd loves that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember during the Attitude Era, literally every match had the 10 punches in the corner, and it always got people counting along, right? Like, it's impossible to not count along.
Yeah, it's fun.
I also want to point out that Savio Vega is wrestling in the like husky kid size jeans that have the elastic waist and cuffs at the bottom. That's his wrestling outfit.
I like Savio, but this is not a good night.
Yeah, it really is not a great night for Savio Vega.
Oh, Hat Guy is in the first row.
The Hat Guy is in the first row. I did not see Green Lantern fan, though.
No, that's sad. But there was a bunch of the ECW regulars in their regular seats.
Yes.
Which was funny. They've, like, translated where they would sit in the ECW arena to where they would sit in the Spectrum and, like, mapped it out. That was pretty good.
It was pretty great. I do love, like, maybe, I don't know how to put this, but, like, I will say, like, Hat Guy never came across as like smarky to me. He always feels like he's reacting to all the things that are going on very earnestly, and I appreciate
it. Yeah, I mean, you know? I like that.
Yeah.
He seems like he's trying to take a piss out of the heels or
Guy and Lawler at this show go back and forth. Like, it's great, you know?
So Savio Vega advances. Not the former world champion and half of the tag team champions. And so just take a note and we'll talk about it later. Owen Hart interferes. Not in the tournament. Let's move on.
My next note is that Hugo Savinovich is a vampire. Because Hugo Savinovich looks exactly the same now as he did in 1995.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Lawler cuts a promo and his feet really stink.
Yes. Yeah, that's the running theme throughout the night as well, that Jerry Lawler's feet are disgusting gross.
Well, I kind of remember, well, I wasn't watching at the time, but I've seen like old clips where like leading up to this, Lawler was not cleaning one of his foot and he was like walking through horse shit and he was purposely making it smelly.
Right.
What
Jerry Lawler's gimmick going into this is like the doing blank to own the libs thing on Twitter. And he's just like walking through horse shit to own Bret Hart. Ha ha ha, you know?
I know. Completely embarrassing himself.
Yeah.
So
that's actually a pretty good gimmick for Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. So, who gets to face Savio Vega? It is either the Roadie or Bob Holly.
Yep.
So the Roadie comes out with Jarrett behind him.
Yeah.
Not in
who, at the time that I took this note, was the current AAA Mega Champ.
Oh, yes. That's true.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. That's sad.
But
So, yeah, we have the Roadie. You know what would have happened if both the Roadie and Bob Holly lost?
Uh-huh.
We would have had Doink versus Mantar.
Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah, Doink versus Mantar would have been a much better match. Yeah. Who would have gone over in that match, do you think? Let's fantasy book the loser bracket.
Okay, but this is 95 Doink.
Yeah.
Which is like the least of the Doinks.
Yeah, for sure.
And Mantar, Mantar had like his only little push in like January, and here we are in June. Okay. But who's the loser bracket for the first round? It was IRS, and who'd Yoko beat?
Hold on. I have it in order, I think. I think Yoko went over Luger, right?
Okay.
So it would have been Razor Ramon versus Luger.
Okay. That's way better.
That's a way better match. Yeah.
So both baby faces. Luger was about to leave.
Yeah, I think if Razor had been in this tournament, Razor probably would have at least advanced to the finals, right?
So we're saying Razor moves on and he faces Mantar.
Yes, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. That's fine. Yeah. Quarterfinal Razor versus Mantar. That's this half of the bracket. Yeah.
Done. Okay. Yeah. I have one note about Roadie's match with Bob Holly. I said, Roadie wins. Wow, star-studded show. I took no notes. I don't know what happened.
I have a few matches all focusing on Bob Holly. All right.
Okay.
First one here. Bob Holly's hair looks like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
Fair. Yep. Yeah. Next note. I feel like Bob Holly, more so than Mark Henry, is the person that people should make fun of DVDVR about liking.
He had that great run like last year, Bob Holly.
Did he really? See?
On the Indies.
I never got it. I never liked
he
it.
He just went in and stiffed everyone. That's great.
All right. That's fair. Next note. Have you ever thought that Bob Holly kind of looks like Kerry Von Erich's dumber, trashier cousin?
He could have been a Von Erich.
He could have been a Von Erich, right?
Yeah, like, easily. If he was in Texas, easily. He'd be Bob Von Erich.
Robert Von Erich?
Yeah.
Would he have been Robert or would he have been Bobby? I feel like he would have been Bobby.
Yeah, he would have been Bobby. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Bobby Von Erich would have been good.
Yeah.
But he would have, like, him and Kevin Von Erich having tags like late in World Class would have been great because both of them would have just stiffed the shit out of jobbers.
Oh yeah,
that would have been amazing.
Yeah. I would like that.
Yeah. All right, and then my last note on this match is I will give Holly credit for maybe being the only person in history that makes like the getting the boot up counter to a top rope move look deadly. Because he just threw himself into that foot and, like, absolutely died on the bump. So good for Bob Holly.
Yeah. We missed a note here.
Okay.
Do you know who Razor beat to qualify?
No.
According to Wikipedia.
Okay.
Jacob Blue.
Who is Jacob Blue?
One of the Harris brothers.
Wow.
Boy. Okay, moving on.
95 WWF was dire.
How come How come Jacob Blue is in the tournament, but not Eli Blue?
That's a great question. Yeah.
Okay.
So, that's like in the like PWI 500, where like one of the Young Bucks is inevitably five spots higher than the other one.
I love that.
Like, yeah.
We got a Shawn Michaels promo. I understand people like Sean, but like, how is my question?
Yeah, all right. So like, I feel like for a long time in my wrestling fandom, Shawn Michaels was sort of just like a non-factor for me, where I was like, you have those wrestlers where, I'm trying to think if there's like a modern parallel for me now. Maybe like Seth Rollins is a good comp, where like I can tell objectively that he is fine, right? But like the things that he does well are things that just like don't really do it for me, so I have no connection to him, you know?
Yeah.
But like, the older I get and the more Sean stuff I watch, especially like earlier in his career, I come around to your opinion of just like, how is this person ever considered likable in any way?
I was thinking more just like, as a babyface, he's so
hateable. Oh yeah, he's a terrible babyface. Yeah, he's a terrible babyface.
Like, from his outfit to his gimmick, and then Vince like whacking off to him.
Oh,
his commentary.
Yeah.
Calling Shawn Michaels the most charismatic wrestler in WWF history. Like,
yeah. There's a lot going on in this. I mean, so like, first of all, Shawn Michaels comes out to the ring wearing a King of the Ring hat.
Of course.
And he's wearing it backwards. And like, I did not until that moment think it was possible for like early 90s Shawn Michaels to look douchier, but he pulls it off.
He does.
Also, like, I mean, there's a lot in this match that we can talk about, but like, the match is a draw, you know, just to get the
15 minutes with comma.
15 minute time limit draw.
With comma, of all people.
With comma, yeah. And like, there is nothing. You could probably count the number of things in WWF history that are more masturbatory than this 15 minute time limit draw in a fucking tournament with HBK, right?
They did this every year.
Yeah.
They always had one 15 minute draw in the first round.
But somehow he makes it worse. And also, why the fuck, when he wins this match, or not even when he doesn't win this match, he ties in a time limit draw, why does his music play?
I don't know. Want to know, would Duke Drozzi versus King Kong Bundy been better? Because that's
100%. All right, wait, hold on. All right. Important question. Although I don't think that it changes my answer. Would Duke Drozzi versus King Kong Bundy have gone to a 15-minute time limit draw?
Oh my god, I wish it would have. What would they have done?
Like, there would have been like a 9-minute bear hug segment.
That's later on.
Yeah, that's later on. So here's my question about this match. Comma in this match works very, very lightly. And I have three possible reasons. Then I want to sort of put it to you and to our listeners, I guess. Do you think he's working light because Shawn Michaels' back is already actually messed up and he's under instructions like to work very light? Do you think he's working light because he's afraid if he like works stiff in any way, Shawn Michaels will throw a real life hissy fit in the middle of the match? Or do you think he's working light just because he doesn't want to work stiff?
Because he can't.
Yeah, because he's not very good.
Or option four.
Option four?
It's a fucking time limit draw. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, that's probably true. I actually like, so I really love the comic gimmick because, like, the idea of this gimmick is, like, really hysterical to me because he's supposed to be this, like, real shooter UFC type guy.
Yeah.
But it's in a time period where, like, no one really watched or had seen a lot of actual MMA.
Yeah.
So he, like, doesn't have any idea what a real shooter would do in the ring or anything. So he just sort of, like, tries to act tough and does, like, slow motion professional wrestling moves. It's hilarious.
Man, he was so much cooler as Papa Shango.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Imagine a Papa Shango Shawn Michaels match would have been great.
100 times better than what we got. Yeah.
Also,
for a dude, this is, again, going back to Shawn Michaels, for a guy who is, like, really famous for having a ton of, like, long matches and, like, long Rumble appearances and, like, you know, ostensibly has a great reputation as having, like, a lot of cardio because of it. Like, he lays around a ton. Like, half of this 15-minute draw is Shawn Michaels pretending he's wrestled 5 hours already and is just, like, dead on the ground.
Yeah, there was a lot of complete exhaustion for a match that only went 15 minutes.
Yeah. And, like, wasn't even fast-paced.
Yeah.
Like, the Diesel and Sid tag at the end had, like, a much brisker pace than this match.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that. So they wrestle to a draw. Is there really anything else to say? Like, it was boring.
Yeah, I would say that this is more offensive to me than Mabel winning.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so one more match. Here.
Yeah, one more match
In this first round. Just let me get to my notes here. We would have had Jeff Jarrett versus Adam Baum.
Yep.
In the losing bracket.
I would imagine that Jeff Jarrett would win versus Adam Baum.
Jeff Jarrett was hot at the time.
I mean, he was the Intercontinental Champion.
Was he?
Yeah. I mean, he only wore the belt to the ring to help the roadie like five different times. Well, I guess.
Part of my memory is faded on this show.
But yeah, Jarrett would have gone over 100%.
But instead,
and like,
we get the Andre Hogan of the tournament. We get Mabel versus Undertaker.
Who? And this is important because the winner gets a bye. Basically,
yeah, the winner of Mabel Undertaker goes to the finals to face either the Roadie or Savio Vega.
So they should have just said the winner of this match wins King of
Pain. Yeah. It's like, okay, we'll talk about that. But first, this match. I really like Mabel. He does some...
Yeah, like legitimately, like you enjoy Mabel.
I do. This match was too long. He should not be facing the Undertaker at this time, who was doing his zombie stuff. This was great, wasn't it?
So Michael Hayes, who's on commentary for this show. Doc Hendricks, whose gimmick was basically business casual Michael Hayes. So he has like an all time great commentary point on this match, where he says, even with the Undertaker's magical powers, Mabel is probably too heavy to pick up for a tombstone pile driver. Like that's tremendous. Like a kudos Michael Hayes for that one.
That is good. That is good. What did you think of Vince McMahon and Doc Hendricks? I don't think they did too many pay-per-views.
No, I actually didn't mind them on comment. I like Vince grates on me after a while, but his enthusiasm is always fun.
Yeah.
And like, I think Hendricks is okay. Aside from his like blatant racism throughout the show, but that's probably just 1995.
Yeah, that's WWF.
Yep.
Let's see. So, man, I actually didn't take a note here. I think I fell asleep, to be honest.
So, before the match starts, I just want to did you take any notes on the Bob Backlund promo that happens before the match?
Oh, is that before the match? Okay.
Yeah, maybe
that's
before the match.
Okay, that's why my notes. I thought I had no notes. So
yeah, so they talk about the match and then they go to the Backlund promo.
Oh, okay. So I do have some notes then. Okay. So
yeah.
Bob Backlund is campaigning to be president.
Yeah. Can you just like play the whole promo for people who are listening? Like, can you just cut it into this show?
I can try to look for it and see if I can do it.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's maybe one of the best vignettes that they've ever shot. I love it.
Yeah, you're just going around kissing babies.
Just yelling at people. Just yelling at people. Bob Backlund thought he could yell his way to the presidency.
Well, it worked for someone.
If it had been 15 years later, he would have had a shot.
Oh, it's so sad. the best part... Okay, so it's obvious when you're watching that skit that it's a joke, right? Like,
yeah,
Backlund's not really campaigning. It's just ridiculous, right?
Yes.
Vince McMahon thinks he's really campaigning. Him and Doc Hendricks talk about his him being a legitimate candidate.
What do you think Bob Backlund's campaign stances are? What do you think Bob Backlund's platform is?
Thesauruses for everyone.
Thesauruses for everyone. Where do you think? Do you think Bob Backlund is in favor of universal basic income?
Yeah.
Seems like I think so too. I think yeah.
How much would it have cost to put Bob Backlund in the primaries for like just the first like election first state?
I mean, probably a good more money than 1995 Vince McMahon had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because that would have been fucking awesome.
He probably would have done it in like 1999, right?
Yeah,
when he was just like he had money hand over fist.
But, that's true. I wish he like did. Man, do you remember when Trump announced he was running for president and he paid the crowd to cheer him and he like came down on this escalator at Trump Towers? It was so ridiculous. The audience was paid to be there. That's what I'm picturing like Backlund's speech to be.
I mean, that's it's really not all that much different. You know, I think I would prefer Bob Backlund to be president because I think that Bob Backlund, even though you could never tell him that things like in communism were good, but you could probably without if you didn't mention the word communism, convince him to have a very communist him.
Would he be racist?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's not much of an improvement.
Yeah, probably not. But like maybe he would be like charmingly racist, like an old uncle. Instead of just, blatantly racist. I'm kidding. There's no such thing as charming.
No. This isn't going out for a couple weeks or so. But did you hear the leaked talks of what Trump said about Canada and the NAFTA negotiations?
No. What did he say?
Trump said he is not going to budge on anything. He's going to give Canada a horrible deal and they'll sign it. And he's not negotiating in good faith.
Well, I mean, he's the deal-making president.
But he leaked that he's not giving into anything, and he's going to screw them on this deal.
That's just good strategy, Stephen. The man wrote a book called The Art of the Deal.
That's true.
You can't doubt someone who literally wrote the book on deal-making.
My favorite thing is Trudeau saying, yeah, we're not going to be bullied into signing anything that's bad for us. And if he wants to try to end NAFTA, he has to get that voted through the Senate and good luck. So basically just called him out on his bluff. So
sure, of course. I mean, like, he doesn't know how to do anything. And like the the worst part, I mean, not the worst part is like the racism and the like enabling reactionary politics, but like the most confounding part is that his own party like realizes and encourages the fact that he doesn't know how to do anything. They just let him say whatever he wants because they know that they can just work around him or like awful gross agenda, you know?
And then fucking newspapers have the gall to say that Alexandria Cortez, sorry, I screwed that name up, doesn't have the intellect to be running for the fucking Senate.
Yeah, and she went to Boston College, right? Like, she's a smart person.
Trump's the dumbest fucking person on the planet.
Yeah.
You can't convince me otherwise. He is fucking dumb.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he probably started out as dumb, and now he's dumb and senile.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
All right, boy.
Thank you, Bob Backlund, for getting us on this side rant about politics. I'm sure everyone wants to hear about politics on the wrestling podcast.
That's okay.
So,
I mean, honestly, like, if you disagree with Steven or I and you're like, no, Donald Trump is a smart guy who's doing a good job, just like, fuck you. Stop listening to our podcast. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. If you think Trump's doing a great job, quit. I don't want you to listen.
Just quit.
Sorry.
Quit life. Quit wrestling. I don't care.
I know people say you shouldn't paint people black and white, but you're either a racist or you're supporting a racist. So, sorry. This is a boring match and comma interferes.
There's a couple things that that bear mentioning. There's a sign in the crowd that just says, Dear Mabel, RIP, love The Undertaker.
That's awesome.
which is very nice.
Yeah. I love that. Love The Undertaker. That's great.
Love, comma, The Undertaker. And then I also love the fact that, like, so when Kama comes out, he's handed a funeral wreath by like the two most obvious plants in WWF history.
No, they're the creatures of the night.
Yeah, the goth kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they should have interfered instead of Kama. I feel like the creatures of the night should have run interference. They should have, you know, interfered so that they could have fought back against Kama, you know?
I think the only thing after the start of the match that gets a reaction is like Kama interfering or Mabel winning, and the crowd's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. No, this match is horrid. Like, honestly, this match may be the worst match on a show where no match is good.
It might be. Like, and it sucks because, like, Undertaker could go, but they made him do this style that produced horrible wrestling.
It's really interesting. Like, one of the great sort of what-ifs of Undertaker's career is, like, a chicken and egg thing isn't the right thing, but, like, part of me thinks, like, you know, oh, it's a shame that he couldn't wrestle as athletically as he did later in his career, because he really put on some great WrestleMania matches and whatever else when he sort of hit his stride. But like part of the reason that he was able to do that later was because he conserved so much of his body during the early part of this run, you know? So I don't know. But it would have been better if he was like able to be sort of super worker Undertaker from 1996 on, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, Mabel just doesn't he was not really booked strongly going into this.
No, yeah.
So like
he's booked strongly during this night.
Oh yeah, during this night they put him over like gangbusters, but before this, like, Mabel hadn't really done much.
No.
Like he wasn't even on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So like there was no reason to, you know, hate him or like they get into this match. So, boy. What do we have next?
Jeff Jarrett versus... no, sorry, never mind. The Road Dogg versus...
We have the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God. I took no notes about the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
I think I fast-forwarded through
it. I was all into this Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So they're at the Marriott, which is great.
I mean, it's hilarious to think, like, how far the company has come. And, like, what they show of the Hall of Fame is literally just a conference room at the Marriott.
It is. They said they're at the Marriott. So, yeah, just a small conference room there. So we got – listen to this class –
yeah.
Pedro Morales, who I love.
Yeah.
The Grand Wizard.
Wasn't Ernie Ladd in this class too, right?
He is. Antonio Rocca. Fabulous Moolah.
Ugh.
Yeah. George Steele. Ernie Ladd. And the headliner, Ivan Putski.
Oh, wow. First of all, I mean, that's a very good class, right? Like, basically everyone in that class is good, except for Moolah, who sucked. It's odd to me that Putzi, well, I guess it's not odd, but I wouldn't think that Putzi would headline for that class, you know?
But who else?
I mean, I would make Pedro Morales could headline over him, probably.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So this was the third class. So let's dive into the Hall of Fame. So
sure.
We got Andre the Giant first year all by himself.
Yep.
Fair. Next year, in 1994, we got Arnold Skoland, Bobo Brazil, Buddy Rogers, Chief J Strongbow, Freddie Blassie, Gorilla Monsoon, and James Dudley.
Is that the Vince's driver?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. So that's what they were following up with.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, that's a pretty good class, too, that second class.
Yeah. Man, when did it go off the rails?
I mean, they're sort of running out of people. Like, it's funny, you think about, like, what the classes are going to be like in 10 years, where like loyal mid-carders are going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Like The Miz is for sure going to be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, but The Miz is more deserving than like a lot of the people. Like he's...
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But like R-Truth is going in one day.
Natty is 100% going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
But like The Miz is an interesting one to me. What do you... Kofi Kingston is probably going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Right? And you know what the video will be? All about his Royal Rumble spots.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was going to say him destroying Randy Orton's NASCAR, which is the height of his career. But
New Day might be now.
Yeah, New Day is certainly now. But do you think the New Day will go in as a unit?
I think they'll go in as a unit, and then Kofi will go in by himself, and he'll be double Hall of Famer, just like Ric Flair.
That's two rings. Him and Ric Flair.
Yep. The only thing to note, Ivan Putski sings, and Bill Murray, on top of an elephant, sent in a video congratulating George Steele and then challenging him to a match.
Did we ever get that match?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Bill Murray versus George Steele in 1995. Wow.
That would have been really good.
Yeah, it would have been. I think what we'll do is we'll do this final semifinal match of this tournament, and then we'll break till next week.
All right, that's fair.
So,
because the next one is a doozy. I'm not even sure that I have notes on it.
Yeah. So, what do we got? The winner faces Mabel in the finals. We got Savio Vega versus the Roadie.
The Roadie.
The crowd.
Did they ever come out and say that the Roadie was Jeff Jarrett's weed dealer, or is it just heavily implied?
I thought it was his Roadie who set up his, his stuff.
And his weed dealer, right?
Probably,
like that. Yeah. I mean, just look at him. That guy, he's a weed dealer.
Yeah. So the crowd doesn't like this. They're just booing.
Oh, yeah, the crowd.
One of the most embarrassing things you can do as a babyface is go, come on! And then the crowd...
Yeah, it's a no response whatsoever.
Yeah, Savio was trying, but boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing stood out.
Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
What really stood out to me in this match is Savio would hit a move, right? And then go for a cover. And, like, usually if you're doing, like, a bunch of covers, right? You're, like, going down quickly. You're hooking the leg. You're, like, energy and excitement, right?
Yep.
He, like, slowly sat down like he was going into a bathtub, barely put himself on top, and didn't hook anything.
Steven, it's his third match of the night. That's good storytelling. He's too tired to go for quick covers.
Fair enough. That's good psychology.
Good psychology. Yeah.
What's fun about wrestling and movies and all art, right, is that it can be logical. It can make a lot of sense. It can, like, hit all the right beats, but still stink.
And still be terrible. Yeah. So it took me three matches to notice that Savio Vega has his initials shaved into his head.
Oh, I saw that right away because, boy, that's embarrassing.
That seems like a very 1995 thing, right?
Well, it was 1995, so we'll cut him some slack.
Yeah, I mean, it's still embarrassing, but, like, I feel like in 1995, he would have been like that as boss. Like, I'm the coolest guy. Road Dogg is embarrassingly bad in this match, by the way. I mean, like, he's never very good, but, like, I mean, he looks untrained in this match.
He has a match on one of the In Your Houses around this time versus the 1-2-3 kid, where he gives him a top rope pile driver for a win. It might have been the second rope, but he, like, flat out pile drives him off the fucking turnbuckles. So that's awesome. We didn't get that here. We got a screwy finish, of course.
We did. We did get a screwy finish. We have, like, interference that gets run with, you know, like, Jeff Jarrett tries to interfere, and then Razor Ramon gets up there, and it looks like Road Dogg is going to run into Jeff Jarrett. They stop it, but then Savio Vega hits him into Jarrett anyway. So it's, like, it's pretty standard fare, but it's intricate. It's well set up. I actually don't mind the finish in this match, but it's literally the only passable thing about the match.
Yep. Okay. So that's that. We're now set our finals of Savio Vega and Mabel.
Who would have been the finals of the loser bracket
tournament? Let me pull it up.
Razor Ramon versus Jeff Jarrett.
It went away from the page, man. Probably. Okay, let's see. Losers. We got Lex Luger. See, Razor Ramon won. He got injured.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
But he counts.
Okay.
I feel like
so you got
counts.
Razor, you got Lex Luger, and Jarrett. Those are the top three contenders.
Yeah. I would say, like, if you keep the brackets the same, I think Razor Ramon versus Jeff Jarrett is a final. And actually would have been, like, a pretty good final.
Yeah, they had some good matches in that year.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I'd be down for that. But next week, we're gonna finish this show. And we are going to use the WWE's roster at the time and pick the best eight for the tournament.
Okay, that's totally fair. Yeah. You mean that the tournament of losers with Mantor and 1995 Doink is not the best?
No.
Okay.
Well, you can fight for Mantar if you want.
I can fight for Manta. Yeah. I'll always fight for Manta.
As you should. I guess until then, there's actually something good up next, I think. So we'll talk about that next week.